It's a mighty hard road my poor hands have hoed. My poor feet have traveled along the dusty road. It's out of your dust bowl and westward we roll. And your deserts were hot and your mountains were cold. I worked in your orchards of peaches and prunes. I slept on the ground in light of the moon. On the edge of the city, you'll see us in land. We come with the dust and we'll go with the wind. California, Arizona, to harvest your crop. And it's up north, Oregon, to gather your hogs. Take the beads from your ground, take the graves from your mind. To set on your table, your light sparkling wine. Fight and we'll fight till we win. California, Arizona, to harvest your crops. And it's up north to Oregon to gather your hogs. Take the beads from your ground, take the graves from your vine. On your table, your light sparkling wine. Thank you.
Toronto's Slocan Ramblers have a reputation for producing some of the best live acoustic music out there. A refreshingly youthful and fiddle-free take on bluegrass featuring guitar, banjo, mandolin and bass. And they're on tour in Ontario this spring with stops in Guelph, Newmarket, Kitchener, Aurora and Picton, alongside some dates in Western Canada and out east to Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia. We caught up with banjo player Frank Evans in Toronto to chat about their music and the upcoming tour dates. How are you doing today, Frank?
Good. How are you doing?
Great to be able to talk to you today. Certainly, I think in the years that the Slocan Ramblers have been together, you have quickly developed a following. You're certainly very popular on the acoustic music scene, as I mentioned at the start of this interview. You must be pretty excited with how well people have picked up with your music.
Yeah, it's been a really, really fun sort of experience. You know, when we started out, we just played in a little pub on Tuesday nights, and it was just it was sort of a new genre of music to some of us, and we were just having fun with it. And then someone asked for a record, and someone asked us to play some shows out of town, and it just kind of snowballed. And now it's just sort of it's a full-time job for all of us, so it's been really fun.
Now, I think you all started off in the music program at Humber College, is that right?
Yeah, we've all gone through there at some point in time. Not together, not all of us together, but we've sort of studied that at that institution.
Now, one of the things that people have remarked about is the fact that you're all pretty young and you're all into bluegrass, which a lot of people tend to think of, you know, something that's, you know, a little more conservative, tends to be something people move into more as they get a little older. Tell us what attracted you to bluegrass.
I mean, we all have sort of our different stories in terms of how we came to really finding bluegrass as the genre we wanted to specifically work on. I started playing the banjo when I was about 10 years old, and I went to a concert and heard a banjo player and just fell totally in love with it, and started taking lessons off that banjo player. His name was Chris Cool, and he was great. He took me down to a couple different festivals in the States and really sort of got me inspired early on. I mean, the funny thing that people don't often realize is that the jazz sort of scene and a lot of the approach to playing jazz is very similar to bluegrass, and so it's not that big of a boundary between the two. And so a lot of the stuff that you would learn in jazz school is very applicable in terms of improvising and arranging and that sort of stuff.
So tell us about the other members of the band.
Yeah, so Daryl Polson is a guitar player and from Alliston, Ontario, and he has probably the broadest spectrum of genres that he's played throughout the year. He's played metal and rock bands and wedding bands and all kinds of different stuff. And he got into bluegrass when he was at Humber College at the jazz school there. And yeah, he's been mostly playing acoustic music since then, sort of thing. So he's been playing acoustic guitar and flat picking. And Adrian Gross is a mandolin player. He's from Montreal. And he's been into acoustic music for a while, but more on the blues rock side and a couple of different things. But he remembers hearing a Norman Blake album and really falling in love with that sound of bluegrass and that type of improvisation. And so that's when he picked up the mandolin and started playing. And I believe that's sort of what he considers his primary instrument right now. And our bass player, Alistair, is from St. John's, Newfoundland. And he also met the other two in the Humber program and started playing again. I think he started playing mostly bluegrass on that Tuesday night gig that we had in Toronto in a little pub, and then after, you know, playing it live, and sort of once you get a whole set of material down, then it's really easy to kind of fall in love and want to pursue it and keep learning more material.
So there's no fiddle in the band. Tell me about that. I mean, is that just a temporary thing, or is it something that fits better with what you're trying to achieve?
Well, I mean, traditionally, yeah, there is generally a fiddle in this music. It was just sort of by chance that we all met, and there just happened to be no fiddle player on that in the scene, sort of at kind of our level when we when we came together. And so it just formed without a fiddle player. And we have incorporated fiddle players in the past in terms of our show. But we've worked really hard on sort of arranging it with the materials we have. And one of the things we work on is sort of looking at the function of what a fiddle does in terms of, you know, sonically and how it fits into the whole spectrum. And so, and seeing if we can replicate that in other ways. So getting a mandolin to play tremolo in some places, or Alistair uses his bow quite a lot, and that sort of thing. But it would be nice to have a fiddle player, but, you know, an extra hotel room and one more seat in the van.
You mentioned Chris Cool's name a little earlier, the fact that he inspired you to really get going with the banjo. He also co-produced your most recent album, Coffee Creek, which came out in 2015. Now, we started with your version of Woody Guthrie's Pastures of Plenty with your own song, Honey Babe. Tell us a little bit about that song and how that fits in with what you're trying to achieve. Because one of the things that seems very important to your sound is respect for the traditions, you know, pushing the borders as much as you can, but at the same time, finding an opportunity to bring in your original compositions.
Yeah, the Honey Babe arrangement was really fun to work on, and I think it might have taken 3 or 4 months of rehearsals to finally get something we liked. And it's funny how that works. You know, we spent a lot of time arranging, and sometimes the song will come together in an hour, and sometimes it'll come together in a couple of months, such as Bachelor's Plenty. It was influenced by there's a sort of a famous Swedish fiddle group named Vossen, and they have a couple of sort of rhythms on that are heavily they influence sort of the backbeat, and it's one of those things where you can dance to it, but it's, if you sit and listen to it, it's sort of hard to tap your feet to it, even though it seems very intuitive in some sense. And so we tried to sort of create that that sound and that experience with that arrangement, and we played around with different inversions and that sort of thing. And actually, Honey Babe, going straight into it, was one of the first original songs that had ever come to the band. And it was just sort of seemed like a nice contrast between this slower and more heady piece into a fast kind of straight up bluegrass song.
Now, I'd like to play another song from the album just now, and it's actually a song that Alistair Whitehead wrote, which is interesting because he is the bass player in the band. And I always tend to think, I know we're talking stand-up bass here, but we always tend to think of bass players not getting to actually compose very much.
Right,
but
yeah.
Elk River is a very beautiful song. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Elk River, so this was, again, an early song that came to the band, so we were playing it. And when we first started arranging it, on the album, we actually have two guitars. So I'm playing finger-picked guitar, and Daryl's strumming guitar and flat-picking guitar, and there's no bass on it. So the bass player wrote it and didn't play any bass on it, which is kind of funny. He's actually playing banjo on that track. And that was one of the ones that, you know, the song was so strong in itself that it didn't need 3 months of arranging. It sort of came together. Chris was very helpful in terms of, you know, keeping it as sort of true to the song as it possibly could be, and not over-arranging it, which can be a possibility. And it has, yeah, that one has seemed to sort of gain a little bit of attention, and people seem to like it. In fact, someone posted a picture that they had lyrics to one of the verses tattooed to their ankle.
Oh, very nice. This is the Slocan Ramblers with Elk River from their 2015 album Coffee Creek. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
That's all right. That old mountain town, where the soul of man is often found. That old mountain town, Lord have mercy if it drags you down. So pour the whiskey, it's Friday night. I won't be out for all my life. Ain't got nothing but I feel alright. gonna last. Even your neighbor won't know your name, you're just another face all the same. But under these long, tall pines, with my feet in the water by the riverside, thinking I'll take my time, ain't got no use for worry. Digging up coal from the mountainside. In those black dust mines, till it broke his body and it broke his mind. Left this world behind. Three kids and a loving wife. If my soul crossed to the other side, won't need heaven to be satisfied. If it ain't here in this life, nothing up above can make it right. Under these long, tall pines, with my feet in the water by the riverside, thinking I'll take my time, as close to heaven as you'll ever find.
That's the Slocan Ramblers with Elk River from their 2015 album Coffee Creek. Frank Evans, banjo player with the Ramblers, is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. And Frank, I want to talk a little bit about the recording of this album, because with genres like bluegrass, I think it's really important to try and make sure that you remain in the moment when you're playing, whether that's in the studio or on stage. I know that it was very important when you got together with Chris Cool, who co-produced the album with you, to try and make sure it was live off the floor. Do you find that very easy to do? I always imagine that potentially that could be an awful lot more work because of the need to try and get things right.
It's easier and harder in certain ways. I really enjoyed the experience. It was sort of the first time I'd ever recorded an album like that. And you're more true to the sound. And the possibility, you know, when you're baffled off and everyone has their own headphones and that sort of thing, and you can punch in a couple eighth notes of your solo just to perfect it, it opens up a couple of doors that I don't necessarily think makes it more musical in a way. And it forces you to look at the broader sound of the band and the energy of the take. And I really enjoyed it, and it was great having Chris there, who sort of kept track of everybody. And if you know, it can be frustrating if you've done the take, you know, 10 times and nothing's sounding good. And he'd come in and make a joke or something, or he would actually, you know, be honest and say, yeah, there wasn't that good, but you're really close, and you just need to do it two more times, and I think we'll get it. And so it was a blast working with him, and I think he really sort of understood what we were trying to go for with his last album.
Now, Coffee Creek came out in 2015. I know you're not only have you worked on a few new songs, but you are using them as part of your live show. When are we going to be able to hear some new music from the Slocan Ramblers?
Well, we're hopefully going to be able to get into the studio within the next sort of 3 to 4 months kind of thing. It's always a lengthy process putting out an album and recording it and mixing it and then putting all the actual physical album together and getting the publicist involved and all that stuff. But hopefully, yeah, I would say within the next year we should have another one. And it's been really fun playing these new songs to try and, you know, workshop and see what works, see what doesn't. And so, yeah.
Okay, well, I want to try and squeeze in another track. I'd actually like to play one of the instrumentals from the album. I actually want to make sure that we are getting quite a bit of your own material in there, because as we mentioned during the interview, you know, you do play music from the tradition of bluegrass, but you also like to weave in some of your originals. Now, Adrian Gross, who is your mandolin player, has a wonderful instrumental, Coffee Creek, which is the title of your latest album. Tell us a little bit about that track.
Well, so the name Slow Can Ramblers comes from our bass player. Even though he grew up in St. John's, Newfoundland, spent all his summers in Caslow, which is sort of interior BC, next to the Slocan Valley there. And he used to do this hike once a week at least, and he would go up to the Slocan Rambler, which was a silver mine, an abandoned silver mine, and you could go there. And so when we were picking a name, we were sort of in a crunch and we had to pick something. So he picked that name. You know, kind of out of a hat, and we all really liked it, and so we took it and we've rolled with it, and we've toured that area quite a bit. And in that area, there's this one certain pass in between Caslow and Nelson in the interior there that's called Coffee Creek, and it's really it's quite a hair-raising bend in the road, in that it turns almost on a 90 degree, and it gives you very little warning, and there's all these sort of folk tales of people not exactly making the turn, and so we've done that past many times, where we'll play a show in Nelson and then drive back to Caslow and done in the middle of the night, and we sort of maybe wrote this tune and named our album to appease the gods in terms of maybe the next time we head out that direction.
Let's play that just now. This is the Slocan Ramblers from the album Coffee Creek, and this is the title track, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thank you. That's the Slocan Ramblers with the title track from their 2015 album, Coffee Creek. Frank Evans from the band is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. Now, they're going to be on tour in Ontario this spring, as well as dates in Western Canada, and then heading out to a date, I think, in Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia. What I'd like to do now, Frank, is talk a little bit about the live show, because this current tour, I think you're looking into getting into more of the small theaters and perhaps less into clubs than you've done in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great in terms of the types of venues we've been playing. Have been really, really attentive but energetic audiences and very beautiful, beautiful venues.
So tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they come to a show.
Sure. Well, I mean, we always try and sort of put in as much of our original material as possible. But basically, it still hasn't really changed a lot in terms of the energy from when we used to play in this pub in Toronto. It's a very energetic show, and we communicate well on stage together, and we just like to have fun with it and play a bunch of bluegrass as well as, you know, some of the songs that Alistair writes and everything like that. And I think it's a really fun show, and it's been interesting to put it into sort of the theater setting, and it's been really well received. We've had a couple of people who've gotten up and danced and that sort of thing, and we even had we were playing in Meaford last week, and we were playing and someone jumped up on stage and started flat footing with us, and the whole crowd started clapping along. It was pretty amazing.
So you're going to be in Guelph on Friday, January the 27th. You also have some school workshops that are taking place. Tell me a little bit about those.
Yeah, the school workshops are a really fun thing to do before the show. Oftentimes, you know, it's a great way to connect with the community, and it's a great way to warm up. And it's a very fun, energetic atmosphere. And they often really, they ask such great questions, and we usually talk a little bit about the history of the instruments. And we talk about the rhythms and different rhythms that you find in bluegrass. Sometimes they get up and start dancing, which is fun. We often have this one song called Groundhog, which is a sort of call and response type song. And we've stopped asking them to do the response after I think we've lost a couple of decibels in our hearing due to some, you know, echoey gymnasiums full of kids shouting Groundhog at the top of their lungs.
Oh, it's great to hear they get so engaged. I imagine festivals are the same thing when you're on some of the smaller stages at the festival, particularly getting to talk a little bit about the love of bluegrass. You must have a great opportunity there to engage the audience.
Yeah, and, you know, I think bluegrass is one of those things where it's been more and more popular in the past decade. And so oftentimes people are quite knowledgeable about it or either play a bluegrass instrument and that sort of thing. And so it's been really fun to get to meet people all across the country and really the continent. And yeah, it's been great. And also I love, you know, when they put you together on those workshop stages at the festival and communicating with other musicians who don't play bluegrass and finding common ground is one of, you know, my favorite experiences.
What does the future hold for the band? I know you're going to be getting back in the studio for a third album. Other plans? You mentioned, you know, you've not just playing across Canada. I know you, I think you're going down to Florida in the next few weeks for a show. So you're heading into the States. The plans to get to Europe as well, are you get to do that very much?
Yeah, so it's been great. We have a lot of shows booked for this summer already, a bunch of great festivals. And this winter is going to be a great Western Canadian tour as well as sort of the East Coast. And then in November, actually, we're heading over to the UK. We have a whole bunch of stretch of shows in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. And hopefully working towards more European shows and just playing it one day at a time.
If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
You can find our music on our website, which is www.slowcanramblers.com. We're on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and probably a bunch of other things I don't know of. And that would probably be the best way to hear it. Or I think bluegrass is always best heard live. So you should come out to a show and hear how it's supposed to sound.
We have time for one more track from the album. I thought we'd play your version of Dave Evans's Call Me Long Gone. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Call Me Long Gone is one I got from our producer and good friend Chris Cool. He has one of the, I would say, probably one of the best record collections of bluegrass and country in all of Toronto, if not all Canada. And we oftentimes he throws these great parties where you'll go over there and he'll cook a great meal. And then it's sort of, you can DJ the whole night and he's got all his records open. And so that was one that he took me aside. Like, Frank, you got to hear this guy. This guy's amazing. And it was this man named Dave Evans, who is really just kind of a force of nature in terms of bluegrass. And a bit of an unsung hero, too. Like, not everyone in the bluegrass community has heard him before. And so he plays this one song called They Call Me Long Gone that I was pretty blown away with from the first time I ever heard it. But you can't actually get that record anywhere. The record company or the label that he was on folded, and it's really hard to find it. So he found a copy of this vinyl. So I ended up, you know, putting the vinyl and having to repeat it a bunch of times, writing the lyrics down, that sort of thing, and trying to learn the melody from vinyl, which is, you know, not necessarily what happens these days all that often. But it was really fun, and I really enjoyed the arrangement that we came up with it, and it seems to get people dancing.
And he's no relation, so will be people wondering.
I haven't looked into it, but not that I know of.
No. It's been great talking to you today. Frank Evans, banjo player with the Slocan Ramblers. Remember, they're on tour in Ontario this spring, as well as dates in Western Canada and also out to Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island. We'll leave you with Call Me Long Gone from their 2015 album, Coffee Creek. And Frank, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
And the only worry that I got is to use my shoes. And the only